Sounds good. Hey, it's a quarter past 11 on a Thursday. Mabel Louise, hi.
Good morning. It's a good day in Wisconsin. I hope you're happy. I am, because I get to be with you. And guess what? The sun is shining here, and that always makes us happy. And by this time, we all should be getting used to the cold weather, I think. I don't know if I'll ever get used to it. Say, did you know that Easter is April 12th? Have you checked? Well, I did. And I'm in a series of messages that teach us the extraordinary events that took place in Jesus's life leading up to his death on the cross and his resurrection. So my prayer is that I can inspire you to want to read the Bible and find out for yourself how awesome the Lord is and how much he loves you and loves me. So I'm going to go out on a limb and call this series Behold the Lord. That word behold means consider a most amazing thing. So every time you read the word behold in the scriptures, think that event in Jesus' life is absolutely amazing. Perhaps you're thinking, why did he really come? Well, keep in mind as we search the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and put it in a nutshell, and here it is. The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God. That's simple, but that's in a nutshell. Let me read it again. The Son of God became a man to enable man to become sons of God. And of course, the first main event in Jesus' life was his birth. I covered part of that on my last broadcast, and today I want to finish my notes that I worked so hard on, and I'd like to have you consider those. Some interesting facts about his birth. First, let me give you our verse for the day. Yes, it's found over in Isaiah 7:14. Here's prophecy, exactly what's going to happen. So the people should have remembered, should have checked it out, but they didn't. And that's why I'm encouraging you to check out the beautiful story of the life of Jesus. And so, behold, a most amazing thing. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14. There it is, Bible prophecy. And Emmanuel means God with us. Now, isn't that amazing? And my prayer is that you will join with me in saying that statement. Isn't that amazing? After you read the scriptures of all the events of Jesus' life. So that's what I'm thinking as I prepare each message on the events. So today, I'm going to give you some interesting facts to consider about the birth. Mary addressed herself as a handmaiden. Bondservant means the same. Low degree, low estate. All of those are terms that were used. A bondservant is one who has no family and is taken in with a family and used as a worker or maybe I should say, a servant. In other words, if you support me, I will in exchange work for you. I will be your servant. So isn't that interesting that Mary called herself a bondservant, a handmaiden? And notice the missing persons in the story. I had to think about this one. Where are Mary's parents? Well, of course, because she's a worker and being supported by another family. So this is most unusual, for marriages were always arranged by the parents. And also, she would have been instructed by her mother as to motherhood and not have to run to Elizabeth, her cousin. Plus, she never would have been allowed to travel alone as she did as she went to visit Elizabeth. She would have had to be alone and on her own. And then think about this. Mary would have been hard at work when she was addressed by the angel Gabriel. You see, people in their homes, the homes were built on stilts. And under the stilts would have been the courtyard, which was where they had their lambs and the donkeys and the animals. And the custom was for the servants to, when they hear a voice, like if I was going to go and visit a home in the Holy Land in Bible times, I would have approached the gate to the courtyard, and I would have called out the person that I wanted to see. And the Bible said that the angel said, "Hail." And that word "hail" means hello in our language, or maybe hello there in a southern language. Mary was quiet and responsive. Of course, she was to welcome the gifts. No doubt this was part of her life as a servant girl. Now her attention was aroused, however, when she responded that she was a virgin. Think about it. And another proof that she had no parents around, at least there where she was living, Elizabeth was to have her baby while Mary was there so she could receive instructions. And when Mary returned home, she must have been showing her pregnancy, and the town gossips would have been just raging. And Joseph was a nervous wreck trying to figure out if Mary should be stoned or if he should proceed with their marriage. Let me quickly read that story found over in Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, or his spouse in the King James, before they came together, as she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took it unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. The custom was that the engagement was made in the synagogue with a big ceremony, and afterwards the names were posted until they were actually married. That ceremony was so binding that it required a divorce to break it. There was no way that a young couple could call it off because it was a contract between families. The legal agreement and dowry would have been already finalized. Can you imagine how Joseph must have felt knowing that his wife-to-be was pregnant and not by him? Ouch. The rabbi was bound by the law of Israel to have her stoned to death. As I was doing my research, there was a place I found out back in Nazareth where they were would actually take women who were pregnant before marriage at that foot of the cliff and push them off to death. Well, in the meantime, Mary went about her work and she never told a soul. Anyway, as I was thinking about it, who would have believed her that an angel came and that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit? Well, probably after Moses encountered with the angel, he got up out of bed and went to Mary and took her to be his own. Think about this. If God had chosen an unengaged girl, who would have ever married her? And if God had chosen a newly married girl, who would have ever believed that she was a virgin? Well, what a relief for Mary to have it all settled now, and the fact that Joseph knew the truth and he loved her anyway. Everyone met at the well for the much-needed water in those days. There were no newspapers, but there was a large post by the well where the Roman soldiers would post the news and instructions from the king. The Roman soldiers would ride up to the well, post on the pole the instructions that all the world would be taxed and that he would return to their need would be to return to their ancestral home. Joseph had to have property still that he owned in the city of Bethlehem. And of course, that forced him to return there for the census. And Mary's bloodline was also there, plus there was a poll tax for women that would have to be cared for. Because you see, both Mary and Joseph were descendants from David, so they had to return to Bethlehem. No doubt they packed all they owned on that donkey and headed out to walk to Bethlehem. Perhaps they traveled in a large caravan. They usually do travel that way, and otherwise it would have been too dangerous because of robbers. The distance was 90 miles, and that would have been about the same distance if you and I had to walk from Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, to Minneapolis, Minnesota. Most of the commentaries said it would have been a five-day walk. It was apparent there were no relatives in Bethlehem, so they camped in the cave of the shepherds. It was not being used for the flock because they were out in the field. And I want you to know that when I was in the Holy Land, I got off the bus that we were traveling and through the countryside. I asked if I could go inside the shepherd foal. And guess what? The sand inside was so beautiful and white. It was carpeted with fine white sand. It's another interesting thing. When Gabriel told the shepherds that they would find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in the manger, the shepherds knew at once where and which manger held the crowd, because there was a public manger where people could take their stock. Then, while they were there, Mary and Joseph might have been there several days before the birth took place, because Galatians 4, verse 4 says, in the fullness of time, Jesus was born. Yes, perfect timing. And think about this. Why would the Lord use a bunch of lowly shepherds to announce his birth? Well, I think they were hosts to the family because they knew the gospel story. Yes, they knew the Messiah was coming. And they were awake watching their flocks. And another thing, there was enough space there for the host of angels. Isn't that something to think about? I love verses 17 and 18. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the sayings which were told them concerning the child Jesus. I really think the shepherds knocked on every door in Bethlehem. The Messiah's come was the message they gave. How interesting. Have you thought about this? Those people from all over the Roman Empire were present in the town for the census. And guess what? The word was spread all over the world. Talk about the fullness of time. Everybody went home and told all of their friends. Let me ask you in closing, are you telling the good news of the gospel? You can see the Lord in every detail of this event of history. Even the census was recorded historically. So you never need to doubt. But we do need to spread the good news that Christ came to all people, and he came to seek the saved and the lost. I hope that you know him today as your Savior. Bye-bye.